on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20. To the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Kerry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And by Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/iTunes.
Bang! There it is.
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes at midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
Oh, hold on, boy. I'm always going to go.
Unleash the fury.
Oh, yeah. Who's got something left in them? Absolutely. The Cardinals season isn't over until... So we say it's over here on the Big Red Rage, right, guys? I mean, come on now, Eric. The season ends for the Big Red when we apply the punctuation right here on the Big Red Rage. The Cardinals just finished by winning 7 of their last 9. And we are expecting a winning effort here tonight. Ron Wolfley down there, Paul Calvisi here. Your host, everyone, like always, yes, Kerry Rhodes. The playmaker not only on the field but here at Marley's. Chandler Fashion Center, and it is the decision maker edition of the Big Red Rage.
Yes,
we'll get to that momentarily. I love it when the decision makers, by the way, sign autographs before the show. I love that.
And I love that he's right beside me as well.
That's a good thing. It kind of gives you that high-powered feeling, doesn't it, Kerry? You know, as if we don't do that to you enough already. Just the presence of Paulie Pencilneck and Wolf over there, you should already feel, you know, superior. But you know,
you two are great.
Yeah.
And then you know, I feel real good when I'm here with you guys. But when he's here,
yeah.
Oh man, it's a whole nother level today.
Yeah, I noticed, too, you kind of dressed up, right?
You see that?
You look a little,
hey,
yeah.
When
I wish I would have gotten the memo myself.
Wolf, when you have the money man beside you, there's no downplaying.
My goodness. So much to talk about, Kerry.
Yeah. So your lasting impressions, Kerry, what's been on your mind this week as the season came to a close? Almost like two seasons in one. There was the 1-6 start, and then there's a team that finished 7-2. You know what I mean? That's the feeling I got coming off the season. It was almost like 2-for-1.
Yes, I think it's a different story for a different half. I mean, we were, like you said, 1-6 and not feeling good about ourselves. But as the season went on and as we progressed as a team and got the flow and got all the schemes and everything down, we were a different team. And we showed the type of effort and the type of players we have to get it done. And, you know, this guy, Mike, right beside me, he came out and had faith in all the guys and faith in the coaching staff as well to get it done. So it was a great thing.
You know, a lot of guys, and we're going to talk to Ken Wisenhunt about this a little bit later as well, cited that team meeting when the team was 1-6 coming off the loss to Baltimore. And Fitz said, you know what, normally I wouldn't put any stock into that whatsoever, but this was a different team meeting. Jeremy Bridges told us about it here, right on the Big Red Rage. I think first he sort of broke the story, so to speak. Would you agree with that in hindsight?
I'm not sure. I don't really take a lot of stock into talking as much, but... I mean, the results showed in the second half, so I guess it maybe broke the ice between some guys and some of the coaches or whatever needed to be done. And I think from that point on, we moved on as a group and just put the bigger picture, the bigger scheme of things, we realized that we're not going to win if we're not a team. And I think we got it done from that point.
What about the leadership on this team? Did you feel as though you guys, you being one of the older guys in that locker room, do you think that was important, that was part of the impetus?
I think the big part of that is I think as your leaders, as your older guys, you have to play well first. So once those guys start buying in and playing well, the younger guys will follow. And I
Amen.
Think that's a big thing.
You know, in the last month, you had a win against the Niners. You had a win against the Seahawks. You think there's a little message sent over the last month of the season to the rest of the division a bit?
NFC West, watch out. Arizona's coming, baby.
Staying power on this defense. Shelf life, it is here to stay, that defense, you think, after this year?
I mean, the last 8 games we played, everything we did was in the top 10 in the league. So if we continue that momentum going to the next season, it's going to be a great thing to see.
Kerry just found out he has something in common with the president of the Arizona Cardinals. We'll get to that next. The Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Peterson backing up, and he fields it at his two. He runs right to the five, cuts a field to the 10. He's got the 20, breaks a tackle, 25, 30. Peterson, 35, 40. He's still going. Rookie in midfield. Peterson, 40. Peterson, 20. Peterson wins. Cardinals in overtime. Touchdown on a punt return by Patrick Peterson.
Oh, lickety jingle. Patrick Peterson in overtime takes it to the house.
Cobb takes the snap, back to pass in trouble, and gets rid of it near side, caught by the hyphen at the 50. Near side of the 40, Stevens Howling at the 30, cuts it back to the 20, Stevens Howling 15, breaks a tackle, 10-5, Cardinals win! Stevens Howling, the hyphen, touchdown! Cardinals beat the Cowboys!
Drop the sickle, baby! The Grim Reaper is here!
Wolf, in hindsight, you guys burned some calories in the Cardinals broadcast booth this season. You know that?
Yeah, we did.
Four overtime wins, that's an NFL record in a single season. 13 games decided by 7 points or less. That is the most in the NFL. Something about close games in the Cardinals, and you guys were there to the very end, each and every one of them.
May need to burn a few more calories, though, Paul.
It's never a bad idea. Kerry, I think it was Vonnie Holiday who said after the last game, the win against the Seahawks, yes, in overtime again to end the season, that he felt a little bit like Fred Sanford. You know, the big ones here, you know, was stressing out his heart. You know, how are you after the season and all these close games?
Well, a lot of the close games took place when I was out watching, so that actually was harder than being in the games. I mean, once I got back into the games and in the flow and being a part of it, you don't stress as much because you're caught in the moment, but as a fan, sitting back and watching as one of the fans, I mean, it was very nerve-wracking. So I know how those guys feel.
Well, I tell you what, let's bring in someone who goes out and meets with the fans before each and every game out on the Great Lawn. We know that. Someone who was instrumental, if not the catalyst, for University of Phoenix Stadium. And I was just talking to him moments ago about, look, that's the past. You know, we're going to talk about the present. The future is, folks, next month, we're 3 years away from Super Bowl 49 coming back to the Valley.
Wow.
Involved at the forefront of that as well. Let's hear it for team president Michael Bidwill joining us here on the Big Red Rage.
Thank you, everyone. It's great to be here. Great to be with Kerry Rhodes, too.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for coming on.
In fact, when, you know, we're out here among the fans each and every Thursday night, right, at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, I know you go down to the Great Lawn. What do you get from that? Why? Why do you go out before every game and meet with the fans?
Well, you know, I'm all over the stadium. I get out to the Great Lawn. I go to other areas of our, you know, where people are tailgating as well. And it's important, you know, to interact with the fans, but it's also important to get a little bit of feedback. And, you know, even when we're not winning, you know, to get out there and understand their perspective, because that's something that really charges me up. It's important that we don't forget about what this is all about. It's about game day experience. It's about winning football games. It's about having fun. It's about that shared experience at University of Phoenix Stadium. When one of these young players or more veteran players is ripping off a play to win in overtime or to kick the winning field goal or to make a sack or a critical blocked pass that helps us win. Those kind of experiences that we all experience out at the stadium is what it's all about, and tailgating is an important part too.
You know, Michael, it's such a difficult thing to evaluate a team that finishes 8-8 after starting 1-6. And when you think of the 2011 season, how will you remember it?
Well, I'll remember it as frustrating at the beginning and very exciting at the end. One that, you know, there are 8-8 seasons where there are teams that are starting strong and ending with a flop. We were just the opposite. We won a lot, 7-2 the last 9 games. I thought that the players played much more disciplined. They showed resilience, maturity. There was a lot of leadership. That was a word that was used earlier. We had young players stepping forward. We had more veteran players stepping forward. There were a lot of guys that were stepping forward and really helping us mature, and you know what was most important was probably that last game, that this team, you know, really both teams weren't playing for anything other than to be 8-8 at the end of that game, and I was really proud the way our guys played and the way the fans, you guys have been terrific this season. Hats off to making University of Phoenix Stadium one of the toughest places in the league to come in and play. You've been a big part of our success in helping us win these games, so thank you.
How about you, Kerry? What are you going to remember the most? What's your takeaway from this season as you hit zoom out and look at the whole thing as a whole?
Just the effort that we put out there every game. I mean, we could have easily at 1-6 put the throw in the towel. I mean, I've seen a lot of teams do that in the past, and for us to have the type of guys that come out and want to get it right and try to win and win for ourselves, win for our coach, win for our owners and the whole team to get the job done and be successful at the end of the year. And 8-8 is successful in the NFL. I mean, it's tough to win. So it's a big success. And like I said, like Mike said, the fans were great this year as well. And I'll take that with me as I move on. And hopefully things will be even better in the next year.
Well, Michael, I think there's a hole in the time-space continuum out in Glendale where University of Phoenix Stadium is. We have seen the incredible. We have seen incredible games at University of Phoenix Stadium. Four overtime wins this season. That's an NFL record, of course. They all took place that are at University of Phoenix Stadium. It's a great atmosphere. But my goodness, we are seeing some incredible things there, aren't we?
Amazing things. You know, the young players in particular, you know, watching Patrick Peterson develop throughout the year, you know, not only as a corner, absolutely, give him a big round of applause, but also as a special teams player. I mean, it was really dynamic. And I was proud of our team because at different points, different parts of the team stepped forward. There were times where the defense, particularly the back half of the season, was really strong. Earlier in the year, the offense played important roles. Special teams was huge for us this year. So all of our team, there were contributions by everybody, and I thought that was great.
In 63 consecutive sellouts at amazing. University of Phoenix Stadium.
How emotionally vested are you during a game? What do you like during a game? We heard Passion Wolf during a game. We know what the players like Carey are like. What do you like during a game?
You know, I like hot dogs because I'm a nervous eater, and man, this team made me nervous this year. And I was woofing down hot dogs. It seemed like every game, and look at Wolf over here. He had a whole plate full of food and rubbing his fingers.
You said hot dogs, and his mouth just started watering. You didn't see that over there.
You know, in 2008, your good luck charm, Michael, was a red blazer. Was there anything this year that proved to be a good luck charm?
You know, I broke out the red corduroy pants right before Christmas. So you may remember that.
Yes.
That was those brought a little luck to us. The players were wearing red pants. I felt like I needed to break out some red, so I wore those. I wore the red sport coat later. So, you know, it's whatever you can do for the team.
When he wore the red pants, I said, look at that. That's money walking across the locker room right there.
All right, back with more on the Big Red Rage after this.
Jet 147 Akron Kansas Tower, runway 19er at hotel. Fly runway heading, cleared for takeoff.
We're at 43,000 feet in this window here. We're right at 43,000 feet. Kansas City Center is who we're talking to, and they cleared us direct to Flagstaff.
Runway 1, clear to land, wind 260 at 7.
We're all wearing broadcast headsets here, but only two of us here on the Big Red Rage have ever worn the pilot headset in the cockpit of an airplane. Yes, it is a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Carey Rhodes is back here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Ron Wolf, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, team president Michael Bidwill. So, Wolf, do you fashion yourself as a pilot? Because I don't.
No way.
No.
I've actually seen Michael do it. I've seen
him
do it.
Even in the back.
By the way, Paul, you haven't, for the record.
No, right, I haven't.
I actually have.
Yes.
And it's kind of a scary proposition. My question to you, though, Michael, is what does at hotel mean? Did they say at hotel? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. No, it's an intersection from the runway on one of the taxiways. So we're cleared to take off at hotel is the intersection. So it was an intersection takeoff rather than going all the way.
I got it. Terminology, so critical in flying, isn't it?
It's different language.
That was the Hall of Fame trip, by the way, with Russ Grimm to Canton, right?
The summer of 2010 when Russ was installed into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We went back there and we videotaped it, and it was a great experience.
What does flying do for you two, for you guys? Michael, I mean, is it mental health? Is it the thrill? Is it a hobby? I mean, what does it do for you? I mean, because it's been an avid passion of yours for a while.
Yeah, no, I've been flying since I was 18. And so it's something that, you know, I think it's something that you've got to have a discipline to. It's a passion. It's also something that, you know, as soon as you get in the cockpit, you've got to forget about everything. It really starts before you can get in the airplane with pre-flighting and everything else. You've got to forget about all your stresses, so it kind of clears your mind of everything, and you focus, and you know, try to keep it as boring of a flight as possible and safe and everything like that. So, it's something I love doing, and it's pretty cool. So I was really pleased to find out that Carey's learning how to fly now, and so I'm going to start calling him 2-1 Tango, which is
2-1 Tango,
the call sign of the plane he's flying. So it's great stuff to have you out there in the air with us.
Yeah, you know, I've been flying for like over a month and a half now, and.
What?
And it's
really, because Wolf wants to go up with you right away. Just you and Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf, yeah. Man. Wolf,
I think
go
Paul,
up.
I think Paul no. would be good with you. Okay.
No, like Mike said, I think for me, it's just the challenging myself to do other things. I mean, I've always been thrilled to see the guys take off and see how the plane actually works. And I mean, everybody see, you know, take off and fly or whatever, but just knowing the small details and the small intricacies of the aircraft and knowing what you, that you're in command of everything, it puts you in a great place.
So, Michael, do you have any advice for Kerry, you know, about the whole flying thing and pursuing this endeavor? Or what advice would you give him?
Stick to the checklist. Stick to the checklist.
No question.
You know, and he's heard that from his instructor.
No question.
You know, you don't, even you know, you've been flying for a long, long time. I pretty much have that checklist memorized, but you got to stick to it. And it's about being disciplined. And it's, you know, I equate this to football, you know. If you've got a discipline and you get into a flight and you do things the right way, you're going to have a successful flight. Same thing with football. If you're prepared, and you go into a game and you do things the right way, you're going to have a successful game. And so that discipline is important. Plus, it's just great being able to go from one place to another, and every single flight is different. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have weather diverts. You're going to have air traffic control delays and things like that. And you're always having to make decisions and their judgments. And you just try to make all the right judgments and stick to your checklist.
Exactly.
All right, so aviation in the offseason will be for fun. How about the offseason for the Cardinals, Michael? Priorities, what's the biggest challenge? What do you foresee ahead there?
Well, I think the biggest, our goal, number one, number two, and number three, the goal has got to be win the NFC West. What are we doing? What are the decisions that we need to make this offseason to win the NFC West? That's what we want. That's what our fans want. That's what we're going to do. And so there are all sorts of decisions. And I think when you look at it, one of the things that Ken Wisenhunt has based this team off of, and we've been hearing it since 2007, smart, disciplined football. And that's what we've got to be focused on in terms of those sorts of decisions. I think we're all very proud of how the team did in the back half of the season, and it was remarkable. We've got to take that momentum and look at some of the things that we need to do in the offseason to build the infrastructure, especially around our young quarterbacks, to make sure that they've got the right environment so that they can be successful going out on the field. We all know we've got a great defense here. If we can get a little bit better play out of those quarterbacks, a little bit more offense going, this team is going to be well positioned to win the NFC West. And we know that road now goes through San Francisco. That's a tough deal, and we've got to prepare ourselves to be better than they are.
Yep.
So what would be next, Michael? What would be the next focal point? Obviously, that is a goal for the organization to win the NFC West. What do you and your staff have to do right now to take step one?
Well, we're in the process of doing a lot of different evaluations, and it's just not player evaluations, the things that we're doing, and what are some of the things in the offseason that the steps that we can take, you know, in terms of continuing to build the team, build our core of players, extend contracts and things like that, but also look at making additions that will help us meet that goal. And there's no doubt, as we get prepared for the draft, and we've been doing that since earlier this fall, as we get prepared for free agency, which will be coming up here before we know it, there are going to be a lot of opportunities for us to make decisions to build this team with some veteran talent and with some young talent that will help us continue to build upon that.
You know, real quick to bring this full circle, you know, talking about being a pilot, and there you are in the cockpit, and everybody's counting on you and so forth. When this team was 1-6, and I talked to Ken Wisenhunt about that, you know, a lot of eyes were on everybody in the front office, right? Columnists are calling you. You're on talk radio and that kind of thing. When you look back, how important was it for you to keep your focus and everyone else in the organization sort of feed off that?
It was critical. You know, at times when you're 1-6, what you need is leadership. And the leadership comes at the executive level. It comes at the coaching level. It comes at the general manager level. It comes at the player level. That's what we needed, and that's what we did. We got back to the basics. We got back to smart, disciplined football, holding each other accountable, and that's what I think got it done. And you know, we're going to continue to do that.
I think that's a key word, accountability. We got back to that, and that was big for us.
All right, we're going to bring in Ken Wisenhunt next. It is the fourth time in 5 years the Cardinals have gone 500 or better. How about it for team president Michael Bidwill here on the Big Red Raid, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Feely is ready. Here's the snap. The ball is down. The kick is up. And the kick is good. And the Cardinals are 500. They beat the Browns in overtime at 20-17.
Let me have everybody's attention. This is a really special day. With this win today, Ken Wisenhunt becomes the coach with the most wins in Cardinals franchise history. So congratulations.
You know what? This is a great thing for all of us. All the players and coaches and people that have been here, Michael and Rod, that have worked to get to this point. But I'm excited about our team. Thank you guys for all you've done. This means a lot to me, but I'm more excited about our team. Let's go.
Team on three. 1, 2, 3. Team.
How about that, Kerry? That takes you back. A little memory lane there after the Cleveland win in overtime. Again, every win virtually was in overtime. I shouldn't even have to say that, right?
Yeah, the cardiac cards, remember? Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. I shouldn't even have to say the name of the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. He is the winningest head coach in Cardinals history. Please welcome Ken Wisenhunt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
How is that? You're so used to giving the game ball to the players, right? And then all of a sudden the game ball is being presented to you. That was a little different there, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was a little different. The only thing I didn't like is it took away from what we had done, which was another overtime gain, a win against Cleveland. It was a big deal for us to win games the way we did. So, you know, I really appreciate all the people that sacrificed to help me get to that point. But, you know, it was to win at home. It's always great to win the way we did. It was a good day.
I know the players get their medical evaluation in this season. Did you get your stress test yet, considering all the overtime games? And 13 games decided by 7 points or less, that's the most in the NFL.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, that was reminiscent of the 2007 season. And you know what it indicates to me is that we're close to being a really good football team. If you're that close in that many games, then the two things you got to think about is, number one, you're a good team because you're close. But the second thing is you got to find a way to win. And, boy, that's what we learned over the last 9 games, was finding ways to win. And winning 7 of them was big for us.
You know, Coach, you are the perfect guy to ask this question, because not only are you a head coach right now, but you've been a player. You played a long time in the NFL. How does a team go from 1-6 to 8-8?
Well, you know, a lot of it is because, first of all, it starts with ownership and believing in the coaches and the players. The second thing it starts with is the players themselves. I think that you have to have a plan and you have to stick to the plan. But more importantly than anything, the players have to believe in what we're doing. And we said during that period that the players were working hard, they were practicing hard, you know, that it was going to turn for us if we stayed consistent. And that's really what you have to do. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things that are trying to keep you from getting out of that rut. That's human nature. But it's a great compliment to our players and how they stayed true to what we believed in and, you know, came out of it.
So after the early struggles, what made you stick to your plan, or not just leave the script and try to flip the script, just stick with the plan that you had in place?
Well, you know, it is sticking to your plan, but it's also listening to input from players. I mean, we had the team meeting that gave you a lot of good information about what was important to guys. People had their players had a chance to air their feelings. But I've been very fortunate that I was around some good coaches, and Joe Gibbs and Bill Cowher. And, you know, you learn from them what's important, how you prepare, what you do consistently. And that's what you do. You stick to that because you know it works. And I think another thing, Kerry, is that we had success. We'd been to the playoffs. We'd been to the Super Bowl. We knew that it worked. We just had to stick with what we were doing. You don't want to change just because things aren't going well at that particular time. And that's what we did. And I really believe that's why we were able to come out of it.
Is there anything more you can share with us now after the season about that meeting? Because, you know, Larry Fitzgerald cited that as well as being instrumental. He said, normally I never mention that. But, you know, he said it was different. And, you know, from what Wolf said, you know, there weren't that many player meetings. Well, any meetings that involve players and coaches, it's usually one or the other, and this involved both.
Well, coaches have a lot of meetings. So we don't need to talk about that. It's those players' meetings that sometimes you never know what you're going to get. It's a mixed bag. And a lot of times the coaches leave the room and the players talk, and who knows what you really get out of it. But this is all about being a team and guys working together and having trust and faith in what we're doing. And when you can stand up as a player and say, hey, you know, I need to be coached this way, or this isn't working, or we're not doing that, and the coaches can say, hey, knucklehead, you got to do, hey, Kerry, come on, man, you got to make this play. You know, those kind of things, I think it builds a chemistry, it builds a bond of trust. And when you get to those games that come down to the end in the fourth quarter and overtime, it's really what it's all about. You got to trust your guys that they're going to make plays. The fourth down against St. Louis, where we stopped them late in the game, that was about trusting the defense and executing the defense. And when they do that, you know, it creates belief that you can win no matter what, and that's really an important part of our team.
What about your coaches, Wiz? Not a lot of talk about them. What about the coaches in regard to supporting what it was that you were trying to get done I mean, what kind of support do you get on a daily basis from offense and defensive coaches?
Well, that's an important part of it. I think that's an unrecognized part of any team that has success is the staff, because, you know, they're the ones, they're the foot soldiers that are interacting and coaching and teaching the players on a daily basis, getting the information across. And our guys work hard. I mean, they, you know, it's tough. It really is tough, because one of the things that happens when you go, when you lose six in a row, is everybody starts talking about job security. And for coaches, you know, it's a nomadic experience, because a lot of times you get fired, you have to move, you uproot your family, you like a community, and now all of a sudden you're not involved in it anymore. It's tough. But, you know, you got to give our guys credit, because they blocked out those distractions and stayed focused on, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to try to prepare our players. And it was a combination of the players working hard and believing, and our coaches sticking to our plan. And, you know, that's what you do. There's no guarantee that it's going to work, but we had a plan, we stuck to it, and it paid off for us.
Was there a pivotal point in the season where things turned? Was there maybe a game or even a play, whether it was Patrick Peterson against the Rams in overtime, maybe at Philly on the road, the Rod Stevens howling with the catch on fourth down? I don't know, was there a moment, in your opinion, where things turned?
You know, I think that really it had to be the St. Louis game, because when we had that fourth and one that I was just talking about and we stopped them, that was late in the game. We got the ball back, and then we blocked a field goal. And then, of course, Patrick won it in the overtime. But you know, those things that happened there in a situation where it didn't look good and we won the game, I think it really kind of turned our players onto the belief that you can win no matter what.
I'd ask you about any superstitions. You hear what Michael said about his red corduroy pants at the end of the season. He broke those out. But you don't really share much about those, do you? So that's why I saved it for the end of the segment, because I know you really wouldn't answer it. So we'll just come back on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan for Kerry Rhodes,
yes,
and Ken Wisenhunt.
I'm feeling invincible tonight.
Great job running the ball, Beattie. Great physical run by Beattie.
Wells at the 40. Wells in midfield at the 40, the 30.
Tenacity and authority.
Hand off Wells up the middle, trying to find a hole. It's there. He's inside the 5. He spins to the goal line and in. Touchdown by Beattie Wells.
Big red run.
Beattie Wells into the history books. A new franchise record single game rushing yards. And the Cardinals get a road win in St. Louis, 23-20.
Yeah, the exact numbers on that would be 27 carries for a franchise record, 228 yards by Beattie Wells in that game, including 71 and 53-yard runs, and just proving that the locker room is a tough place and a tough crowd. He got a hard time from the O-line carry, remember, because the O-line had to jog down into the red zone to finish off those drives.
Yeah, because he couldn't get it all the way in the end zone. Yes. I remember that.
And he's telling him, I'm wearing a knee brace like you guys wear. And so, that was some good back and forth there between those guys.
Yeah, if you don't finish the deal, you always leave it so open. So
all Beanie did is tell me how fast he was, and then he gets run down. Really? Come on, Beanie.
What did he show you this year? His first career 1,000-yard rushing season and 10 rushing touchdowns. What did he show you this year?
Well, I think we knew Beanie was talented, but I think the question about Beanie was durability. Could he play with pain? Could he push through that? And he did that. He showed a toughness, a resolve that he was going to be out there no matter what. There were days on Wednesdays and Thursday practices where he looked awful and you didn't think he was going to play, and then he made it to Sunday and he got his knee drained a few times, more than a few times, in order to be able to play. But he showed up and he played hard and he made big plays for us, and that's what it's all about. You're not going to feel 100% healthy through 16 games.
No.
You know, you got to have that drive and that desire to come back, like Kerry coming back from the foot and coming back and playing for us late in the season. That's what it's all about. So that's what you saw from Beanie, a toughness. And I think part of it was the responsibility of being the guy, being the back. So, you know, it'll be nice to see him healthy when we get him back next year. And but it just now you know that Beanie can do that, and that was one of the big questions.
So, Coach, after Beanie Wells pretty much put up with it all season long, why did you sit him down against Seattle that last week?
Well, the week before, he was really struggling in practice, and you know, what I didn't want to have happen was have a setback on his knee that would affect him going into the offseason program, because that's something that was important. I knew he could play. I knew what we could get out of him. I thought he was going to be limited in what he could do in the game plan anyway, because there were certain runs that, because of where he was health-wise, that he wasn't going to do. So I just felt at that time, for his own health, that, and because the game didn't have playoff implications, that it was better to let him rest it. He didn't like it, but sometimes you have to make those decisions because, you know, they're the best for Beanie and for our team for next year. 3 months from now, when we're out there running through plays, you want him to make sure that he's healthy to be as fresh as he can for that.
you know, when you see Larry Fitzgerald, and you see it in practice all the time, some of the catches he makes, some of the best catches he ever makes are in practice. You know that. And then you see what he does against Seattle.
Yeah.
Do you laugh sometimes as a DB and you watch your, you know, opposing DBs out there trying to cover him and he's making those one-handed grabs, doing it with a bruised lung, by the way?
Yeah, he had a great game that game. I mean, it was one of those things you like to sit back and see as a fan. Like I said, I mean, being a fan of the game and also being a teammate, it was great to see. But, you know, if I was out there, he wouldn't have made that catch.
I see.
But
I
seeing
see.
Those, but seeing those.
You wouldn't have either, based on the Cincinnati game.
Nice. 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 Good ribbon. How hard a time did Darrell Washington get this week, by the way, for not making the catch?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
D-Wash would have had. Stonehands Darrell.
Yeah.
He should have had, like, four interceptions.
Because my coach, my finger was a little bit, and I couldn't, if I catch it like this or catch it like, hey, just catch the ball, Darrell, all right?
Don't tell me about the storm. Just bring the ship in.
Darrell should have had, like, five or six this year.
I wanted to see the fastest linebacker at the combine run 100 yards. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him really let her rip all the way down the field. That's all right. So, how many times already, and how many times do you predict? What's the over under on the quarterback question between now and training camp, Ken Wisenhunt?
Well, you got to tell me how many questions there are going to be because every one of them is going to involve that. But that's okay. That's part of it. Everybody wants to know what's going on. So are you asking me that now?
Why don't we? They're motioning over there. There's actually a signal now. Ask the quarterback question. So here we go.
I think I'm going to wait until later. You know, that's a question that we don't have to make that decision right now. I mean, I think the one thing that we've shown is that we're going to play the best players. I feel so much better about John Skelton and his ability to play in games and win them. I'd like to see him play in the first and second quarter instead of showing up in the third and fourth quarter, but he still shows up. And, you know, we were excited about Kevin and where he showed what he showed us in the Dallas game when he came back, when he had a little time off. So I think with an offseason, you know, we're going to get a chance to see both players grow and move forward and be good players. And, you know, we'll make that decision when we have to make that decision. Mm-hmm.
When you look at the offense, I guess one of the big questions the offseason, we're talking to Michael about this a little bit, would it be the offensive line? Is that some of the questions you're going to have to kind of assess and make some personnel decisions going forward? I mean, when you look at the offense in the offseason, what immediately comes to mind?
Well, that's what we're in the process of doing right now. And it's a good question because I want to make a good point. What we do and what we did this week is you go through and you assess your team, you rank your team, you grade them right now because you're emotional. You've just gotten through 16 games and, you know, you have feelings about players and what you think about them going forward. And then the process after a week off, we'll start where we'll go through 1,014 offensive snaps and we'll look at it again. And then we'll grade them and we'll rank them at that point. So, you know, games, things that these players did in the second game of the season, you've forgotten about. And then that gives you a more accurate assessment of where your team is and what needs you really have to address. So, I mean, obviously the offensive line is something that we're going to look to get better at, to play better. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean our players playing better? Does it mean new players coming in? I think, you know, Michael said this a minute ago, that our goal is to win the NFC West. It's always our goal. That's what it's always been, and we're focused on doing that. And we're going to look to get better at the positions that allow us to do that. And, you know, offensive line is naturally one of those things because we didn't play as well there as we would have liked. But there are going to be opportunities at different spots where we can get better, and that's what we're going to look to do.
And I meant more along the contract situations as well. I mean, that's all part of the business. Pro football's a business. You got to assess that as well on that. You said, by the way, 1,014 offensive snaps this season?
It's more than that. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. I just threw a number out there so I'd sound like I knew what I was talking about.
All right. I was wondering if you already had an actual definitive number. I was stunned by that. As the engineer at Georgia Tech, I thought maybe you had the actual number.
Yeah, it's over 1,000. It's somewhere close to that. It's over 1,000 plays.
Wow. Nice. Wolf, you better get on that.
Hey,
you got a lot of plays to break down in the offseason.
Coach, you just don't throw a number out like that. Paul's a very anal human being, okay? He really is.
It was a holy cannoli stat right there.
He was fascinated by that.
What do you think, Gary? How many snaps in a season for the defense? What would you think? Over 1,000?
Oh, yeah, it's over 1,000. No question.
Yep. 16-game season times. Yeah, I guess so. All right. Yeah. All right, we'll go to the defensive side of the ball next. The Big Red Rays presented by Santan Ford, Kerry Rhodes, and Ken Wisenhunt.
Back to throw with time. Sends it over the middle. Intercepted. What a play by Washington at the 40.
Darrell Washington showing some ball skills.
Steps up, gets hit, and sacked. It's Sam Acho again. His second sack of the game.
Sam Acho, have a day.
Looking left now in trouble. Runs right. And sacked at the 5-yard line by Schofield again.
Look at O'Beal, Brian Schofield.
Here we go, the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Yes, Kerry Rhodes, Ken Wisenhunt, Ron Wolf, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. I'll just go Paulie point guard and set you guys up. So, Wolf, what impressed you the most this year about the Cardinals' defense?
I would just have to say the way they turned it around. I mean, you know, again, the first, I want to say, maybe the first five, six, seven games of the season, how many big plays? How many big plays, I think? Big plays are 20 yards or more that we were giving up. And, you know, it really settled down to a very manageable level in the second half of the season. And that typically points to mental errors. That's why you'll give up a big play, a mental error, or missed tackles. And I think fundamentally, physically, I think the defense got a lot better in tackling in the second half of the season. And I know the MEs probably got cut down as well, Coach.
Yeah. Guys started understanding what they were doing. And a credit to our defensive staff, they cut some of the install and some of the things that we were asking the players to do. It's all a feel out. You got to feel things out when you don't get a lot of time together as far as what they can handle, what they can execute, and that's all part of the process.
For example, Kerry, if you look at the first game against Seattle, then the last game of the season against Seattle, how different was the defense just in terms of the scheme and what the Seahawks saw?
Well, you know what? For the Seattle game, actually, we probably had everything back in. So, I mean, I think it was more of a full circle thing. I think early on we struggled with some of the install, but we were able to add it back as the season went on. We were able to progress more and more in that situation. And probably around the Seattle game, the end of the season, probably everything was back in.
It was close. I mean, we still have some things that we need to work on and install. And I think our defense is at the point where we can do that now because we understand it better, and that's important.
Coach, do you know that you guys, I'm sure you do know this, but you finished 13th in sacks in the league? And I know sacks are overrated. There's no doubt about that. You know, pressure, I think, is probably the more prudent way to go, just getting consistent pressure on a quarterback. But 13 sacks when early on, it really seemed like you guys were struggling to get those.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things that I think are important. Number one, that's great. That means we had a number of sacks to finish 13th. But it was the number of different guys that had those sacks. And that to me shows a balance of talent and a lot of young guys that are hungry that can do that. That's really good. The one area that I think was really good by our defense was red zone. And keeping the opponents from scoring touchdowns. You know, the offense struggled, had their struggles. We all know that. We turned the ball over, and our defense came in there and kept our opponent from getting in the end zone a lot of times. And a lot of times it led to field goals, which our guys blocked. And, you know, that type of thing is a real big swing in momentum. Plus, we were really good third down, especially late in the year. And that's one of the things, you know, if we can do just those two areas and be really good in the red zone and on third down, as well as coupling that with sacks, you got a chance to be a top-level defense, and that's exciting.
I think we actually finished first in sacks. I mean, first in a red zone at the end of the year. And then with the sack thing, I think it shows that if everybody buys into the system of the defense, everybody's going to get a chance to make a play. And I think
that's exactly right.
I think we figured that out.
It's more about, you know, a team concept and everybody getting opportunities because one guy's being unselfish and taking the double team.
And that was amazing to me. I mean, you had everyone from six-round rookie David Carter being instrumental to Vonnie Holiday at the very end of the season filling in for an injured Calais Campbell. I mean, and then everybody in between. That's sort of just the depth across the defense I was amazed at. You know, the different guys with sacks, just different guys, period.
You know what? With Vonnie Holiday, I mean, he had a great performance in the last game of the season. I mean, he hasn't been called on to come out and play a big part for us as a team, but he was able and willing as a veteran to come in and play when he had the chance and just show how everybody else bought into the system as well.
See all the old guy jokes you guys foisted on him all year. He used that as motivation.
Him and Nick both, but they but they did. You know, it's about the next guy stepping up. I mean, when Kerry got hurt, Rashad came in there and did a good job stepping up, and that's what team is all about. And our guys got that. You know, they got that whatever that concept is, we made great progress with that, and that's really exciting going forward.
You mentioned the blocks, and you've said more than once that if you want to judge a team, put on the field goal block tape. Why is that? Why do you use that as a gauge?
Well, it's usually a time in the game where a lot of teams take it off, you know, because the chances of blocking one aren't great, so they'll take that play off, and our guys don't, and it's showed up and paid off for us.
What are you going to do for mental health in the off season, Ken? What are you going to do for mental health? Is it golf? What else do you do?
Stay away from Wolf. that'll really help me.
I knew that was good. I heard at the end of the final Ken Wisenhunt show, you told him you're going to change your number. Is that what your phone number? Is that what you told him?
I do that already.
In fact, Wolf, he's actually agreeing to stay for one more segment if you just pipe down over there and let Kerry handle things. That would be
All right, Paul, the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Yes, we are Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. We continue to roll on. The head coach of the Cardinals and Kerry Rhodes back right after this.
Rolling right as Newton gets away from pressure. Now slips and falls, and then Kerry Rhodes comes in and cleans him up. Pressure coming. Grossman in trouble. Hit and sacked by Kerry Rhodes. The screen to the right to the tight end, and Kerry Rhodes makes a great play. Fires, and it is broken up. Incomplete. Kerry Rhodes got his right hand in there. Fumble the ball, and it's picked up by the Cardinals. Kerry Rhodes. Fumble the ball at the 23. It's recovered by the Cardinals. Rhodes comes up with a recovery.
There you go. Cincinnati, yes, in the final game of the season for Kerry. The two fumble recoveries right there. So let's see if we're scoring at home there, Kerry. In 2 years with the Cardinals, that's 4 interceptions and 6 fumble recoveries. Is that correct? Are you aware of your own stats? Do you keep score mentally? Do guys automatically know that? Is that a dumb question?
No, but I do keep up with my drops. So, like, he keep talking about it right now.
Like, the next one he catches, he's going to come, see, I told you I catch the ball.
That works, though, as a coach sometimes, doesn't it, to challenge these guys?
Sure it does. That's an important part of it. And I think we have a great relationship with our players because we got good guys. We've done, Rod Graves and his staff, along with our coaches, have done a good job in bringing the right kind of guys in here. And that's what you're seeing now.
Because, in the NFL, guys are ultra-competitive, right? I mean, you're hyper-competitive, right, Kerry? I mean, that's one of the reasons guys are playing professional sports.
No question. I mean, you don't want to get shown up by anybody. And being the competitor that I am, and I'm sure the rest of my teammates are, you want to be the best. You want to go out and show that every week.
Wiz, how much do you believe that a head coach should motivate his players as opposed to just saying you're either going to do your job or you're not going to do it?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to motivate players, but that's what this game is all about. Well, it's when you talk about motivation, it's getting more. It's about getting your players on the same page about, number one, what your expectations are, and number two, how you expect them to conduct themselves, whether it's finishing plays, not making mistakes, even when they go out in the community, which is such an important part of being an NFL player, and how they handle themselves around those situations, which is important.
Do you sort of keep track yourself or keep score as to how many times you go and maybe get angry with the team or maybe go there or show emotion because maybe if you go there too often then it doesn't have the same resonance the next time? Or, I mean, are you careful about that or is that more just a gut feeling?
I think it's more of a feel for the team. Sometimes I don't know when I'm going to get mad. I get started and I can't stop myself. I get angry about stuff. But I think it's important about trying to be consistent in your approach with the team. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. But you got to get on them just like you get on your children when they don't do things the way you expect them to do.
And how often do you expect some of the veteran guys like Kerry to sort of have that same approach with the younger guys and the rookies? Do you expect that to trickle down?
That's what leadership's all about. That's why I think we've had success over the last few games is because a lot of guys like that have taken that and run with it, and that's important.
Ken Wisden on, everyone. How about a big round of applause going into the offseason? Yes, fourth time in 5 years, 500 or better. The head coach of the Cardinals, the all-time winningest head coach in franchise history. Back to wrap up the Big Red Rage right after this. By the way, with that in mind, big thanks, big, big props to Tim Hovick, GM of Santan Ford, and all his crew for sponsoring the Big Red Rage all season long. Mondo props and plaudits over there. Those guys are in the house. Kerry Rhodes, down the stretch we come. The final segment of the Big Red Rage 2011, now 2012. Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. So what are you going to do for mental health yourself in the offseason? I asked Ken Wisden on that. What about you? What do you do for off-season mental health?
Well, I get away from this for about a month. I mean, I just get away from it. No football. Probably go to a couple of beaches and just hang out. Get my toes in the sand a little bit.
I see.
Do that a little bit.
Toes look a little better than they did in the cast when Larry Fitzgerald ripped you here on the Big Red Ranch.
They're looking very exquisite right now.
Speaking of those toes, Kerry, now that coach is gone, this whole Dancing with the Stars thing. What is this all about now?
What?
Because I saw you tweeted that out.
Oh.
Are you seriously considering that, Kerry?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Considering or you've already decided?
We'll keep that in the bag, but it's definitely maybe. I'll say it may be in the works.
Maybe?
Kerry,
or definitely in the works.
Have you ever done some classic ballroom dancing, Kerry?
Yeah,
because this is no easy ticket.
It's not easy at all, and I've actually done some stuff in the past, and it's a workout. It's not easy.
What's your favorite? The Roomba, or the cha cha?
Wow,
or the waltz,
I have very great hip action.
I see.
So
as
the
a DB, sure.
Yeah. So yeah. The,
all right, everybody. Thank you very much for coming.
Wolf has a little too much knowledge of that show for his man card right now.
I am. We need to challenge it. One second. Do we need to challenge it?
Yeah. Exactly.
No. You do not.
All right, Kerry, anything you want to say to all the great fans out here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center?
You guys have been great. The energy in this place has been wonderful. I just want to thank all you guys for coming out and keep supporting Arizona, the Cardinals. We're going to be a very great team for years to come, so thank you.
Special thanks to Jim Omohundro, Walton Jason Ellis, Derek Burns, Brittany Hoffman, Tiffany Witt, for Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Kerry, go ahead, say it. Have a great offseason, everyone.
See you later, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
Going to the outside 10, Rhodes to the 5, touchdown, Kerry Rhodes.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.